Hello, 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 and welcome to the Lynn Woods Gospel Entertainment Show, where we talk to inspire. So please like, comment, follow, subscribe, and by all means, download for free. And you can listen to it anytime, anywhere. You'll never ever miss an episode of this uplifting, encouraging, and inspiring show. My guest today is an artist that I met years ago, y'all, in Seattle, and watched him grow down through the years, a multifaceted, multi-talented artist and writer, William Demps. Today, we're going to talk about his gospel recording career and how he's juggling. Like, he's an assistant pastor at Paradise of Praise Ministry in the Seattle area, and he is a busy entrepreneur. So William Demps, who's worked with the likes of Fred Hammond, Dorinda Clark Cole, Marvin Sapp, and Ricky Smiley, welcome to the show.
It's so good to be with you, Miss Lynn. It's been a long time.
It has been. Yes, dear. We were talking about that, folks, off mic, that it's been a long time.
Yeah.
And since the early days of your career. Really?
Absolutely. And, you know, I must say thank you for all of the knowledge. You know, y'all, for those that don't know, Miss Lynn has been sharing the knowledge, putting people on game and, you know, sharing wisdom for years. And I'm one of the recipients of, you know, that love and that grace and, you know, that I guess that hospitality when it comes to just making sure people know what they need to know to make it in this industry. It's not easy, but people like her have made it easier for artists like me to make their way. Yeah.
Oh, I appreciate those those kind words, dear. I appreciate it, because that, you know, you got your music ministry, and that's one of mine, is to inform, educate, uplift, and inspire folks in this business that we work in.
Yes, it's definitely necessary, because it's more than a notion. You know, for those that aspire to do greater things, you have to have people around you that have the wisdom and be willing to hear. You know, the Bible talks about having a ear to hear what the Spirit is saying, and so, you know, I'm so grateful for being brought up in a way that taught me to listen to wisdom. And again, thank you for the wisdom that you've shared over the years. Yeah.
Oh, you're so very, very welcome, and I also, I'm just happy for you for staying in the game, because and being consistent and faithful in your ministry, which is gospel, and also with running the church now with your mom. But just being faithful and being obedient. Now, you're originally from Seattle, is that right?
I am originally from Seattle with southern roots in Georgia. So my folks are from Georgia, Macon and Valdosta, Georgia. And so I'm a Northwest boy, a city boy, but I got them southern roots, you know, so there's still that southern hospitality and knowing how to treat people and love on people. So I bring all that to the table. Yeah.
Well, amen to that. Then we both have, I got family down there in Georgia. Georgia,
come on,
too.
Come on.
Georgia, and Tennessee, honey. That's where my folks are.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Now, you're a pastor's kid, so what was it like growing up in your house?
Oh, my gosh. You know, even before I became a pastor's kid, you know, my parents were PKs. And so on both sides of the fence, I had, it was just church. You was going to do something for God. And so I guess it just made sense, you know, when my parents became pastors, you know, it was something that we were already used to. But it did hit another level, because I watched their commitment and their seriousness about the things of God. And it really inspired me. And so probably at the age of 12, I got serious with my relationship with God, to the point where, y'all, I would fast certain days of the week so I would have money to tithe, because it was serious, because I was seeing the benefits of following the principles of scripture. And so I watched all of that happen, you know, and that sort of birthed out that entrepreneurial spirit in me, because they showed me early on what it was to walk with God. But it was sacrifice, you know, constantly having folk at your house. And, you know, I watched my parents pay people's bills and buy cars, and also see the good and the bad of ministry, which is sometimes walking with people and sometimes them forgetting about the sacrifice and forgetting about the love that you've shown, and sort of, you know, sort of sometimes using you in a very dispensable way. But I also watched God's faithfulness through it all. And so it brought me to a point where I knew God for myself, and it inspired me to walk with God for myself, watching their example. So that's just a little bit of the journey about being a BK. Yeah. My God.
So I assume from that that you mostly had gospel music playing in your household, but did you ever go outside of that and get into some like other influences, R&B, pop, rock, anything like that?
Yes, you know, it's what I loved about my late father. He went on to be with the Lord 2010, y'all. But he was a musician, so he was a drummer and he was a PK. So, I would hear stories back in the day from my aunties and uncles about him having little house parties when they were supposed to be at church. And, you know, my granddad and grandma would be out of town. They taking instruments and putting it up in the house and just, you know, listening to Earth, Wind and Fire and all these different amazing groups. And so even after my dad gave his life to God, he was very aware of the power of music and the beauty of music and how it brought people together. And so he never made it a weird thing that we would listen to other genres. He always wanted us to make sure that we understood the power of message. And so, you know, we grew up with a lot of gospel. So the Wynans, Thomas Whitfield, the Tommies, Ricky Dillard, Anointed. I mean, he sort of went the gamut with the gospel music, Kalen Baylor. But then we would hear the Earth, Wind & Fire. We would hear Whitney Houston. We would hear Luther Vandross. You know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. It really created a amazing musical palette that has sort of brought me in my journey musically to a interesting place, because with the music that I'm doing now, I wouldn't call it so much the storybook gospel sound, but it is a fusion of a lot of the things that I grew up hearing. And also it has given me the courage to try different things and not just be what I've heard, but do something that is being inspired in my heart to do, you know? So it came from that legacy of just being open and understanding the power and the beauty of creativity and what God has given us through music. Yeah.
So, but if you were not doing gospel, what would you be doing with your life right now?
Like I said, I'm an entrepreneur, so I'm a creative in literally everything that I do. So on the business side, I own a salon, so working with hair is a creative outlet for me. So I do that. I've even done graphic design at times, very how can I say it, sort of on my own. I didn't do it corporately, but I've done it on my own here and there. But I think if I wasn't doing music, that's a tough one, because okay. It's just a part of me, Lan. It really is. Writing to, you know, I find myself when I'm not writing, when I'm not singing, I'm literally pushing my friends, pushing and encouraging my, you know, some of my, you know, my friends that are in this thing with me, because it's not easy. It's not always easy to stay committed to purpose. You know, there's always going to be adversity. So I find myself giving ideas and pushing folk. Mm. And so in one way, shape, form, or fashion, it always comes back to this creative thing that God has given us. Music, but outside of that, I guess it's just me being a hope dealer. I enjoy dealer.
That's a new one, William. Hope dealer.
Yeah. Because you know we gotta keep people encouraged, and sometimes it's hard to see the forest from the trees, and sometimes people need to really be put back in alignment with purpose. And so I get a kick out of it. I get a kick out of the lights coming on and people finding their second wind in life. And so I guess that's what it comes down to. And that sort of speaks to the pastoral spirit in me to speak faith and to speak hope and spread love. Yeah.
Well, spreading your love through your music as an indie gospel artist has got to be a bit challenging. And how different is it from, okay, you started like, let's say around, 2004, 2005, and you had a song on John P. Key's new artist compilation album.
How hard was it? All the way back.
You know, I remember you, and I was around at that time. And I came to one of the gospel events out there in Seattle around that time too.
Yes.
A gospel conference out there and participated. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. The West Coast Gospel Announcers Guild, I believe it was, with Frank Walton, Judy Nail. Shout out to those people who also I stand on the shoulders of here in the Northwest. They were bringing people like yourself to invest in us at the time, local artists who just believe that God had given us something. And like you said, it has not been an easy road, but God has been faithful. And people like John P. Key that is I've crossed paths with has been a bridge. The GMWA has been a bridge. college. I won a competition with them, I think back in 2015. The gospel was a
gospel music workshop of America.
GMWA gospel treasure search. So it was honestly right before American Idol and Sunday Best and all of these different competitions. It was one of the first platforms that was given to the gospel, us up and coming gospel artists, to help us catapult what God had given us. And it sent me around the country. I did Gospel Heritage. I did the Bobby Jones Show. I did Gospel Superfest, all off of that opportunity. And then following that, I also won a competition with the Stellar Awards. So they had a competition called the Central City Competition, and I was the first winner of that. And so God just used this whole, I guess, competition age to help bring me up and give me some new opportunities, which ultimately gave me the opportunity with Sunday Best. I was a contestant on this season 7.
BET so, Sunday Best.
Yeah, BET Sunday Best. Yeah, so one thing just led to another. And I guess my encouragement, you know, in thinking about this journey and thinking about the struggle of the journey sometimes, is sometimes we just have to continue to show up and be faithful and be consistent, because sometimes in the back of the mountain experiences, God is literally sharpening. He's establishing relationships that sometimes are not benefiting you right now, but later he will bring things full circle. But we have to be faithful, and we have to make sure that we steward what he gives us. And that's what I've watched God do over the years. As I steward relationships, steward what he's given me, he continues to trust me with bigger and greater doors. And so it hasn't been easy, but God has been faithful. Yeah, that's just a few things that he's done. Yeah.
You were talking about what we mentioned, like 2004, 2005, and you were an indie artist then. What's different about being one then as opposed to if you're just coming onto the scene now and trying to navigate these waters as an independent gospel recording artist or an indie artist, period?
Wow, it is really different, because when I first started, we did not have social media.
Social media
was not around. It was still the age of CDs. It was still the age of you needed to, you know, get a demo and put it in somebody's hands and, you know, get to as many events as you could get to and let people hear you. And it was just way different. It was way bigger, radio driven. We know that radio is still big, but streaming is the main focus now. That's where the listeners are, the TikToks, and, you know, the social media ages upon us. And so it's about having followers. It's about monetizing and being visible on the internet. You know, so that's a huge difference. It's changed up the game. Technology has changed. And even the way that we record, you used to have to go to bigger studios, but now you can record on your phone. You know what I'm saying? There's stories about people recording on their iPads and, you know, getting Grammys off of it. So technology has shifted the culture in such a big way, and the whole digital age of how we consume music, because we were in the CD age where you had to buy a whole complete project. You weren't able to just, I guess you were able to buy singles, but you had to go into the store and buy it. Now we download. So it's changed up everything in the whole subscription of music. So it's a different. It's a different pace, which has demanded us educating, especially us artists that have been around a long time, us educating ourselves on the importance of streaming, how to connect with your followers and how to build followers, because that's just where it's at right now. So it's very different, Miss Lynn.
It is very different. And now it's about accessing whenever you want to, as opposed to back in our day, it was like you buy, you purchase, you own. Now you don't own. You just access it when you need to, and subscription driven.
Yeah, and it's a different job for us as artists, because it was, you know, we used to do appearances. So you would do signings. You know what I'm saying? You would do in person. Interviews. Today, it's about you got to post a few times a day. you have to have a marketing strategy to reach your followers. You know what I'm saying? And which is beautiful, you know, because what it does is it puts the power in our hands to really connect. But it's a whole nother responsibility and job that we have as artists now. So that's a really big shift. But it's also a beautiful shift that allows us to be in control of the trajectory of our careers and how we connect with those that appreciate what we create.
And yeah. Speaking of all the whole internet and social media thing, what do you think about cancel culture and how now they judge you quickly on a post that you put out or a photo or something, just immediately just judging you and don't, you know, they do not know the whole story. And it makes you kind of leery sometimes. You got to be careful about what you're putting out there.
This is the thing. I feel like it's a couple different layers to this. The first thing is we have to have tougher skin. So that's one thing.
Right.
Because there are certain stores that none of us go to because we don't believe in the brand, and so we don't consume what they offer. So that's the first thing. So if we use wisdom and we don't continue to patronize that which don't appreciate or we don't value, that sort of settles a lot of things. So that's the first thing. But secondarily, if you are a brand, I think the responsibility that we have as our brand grows and our influence grows, we have to be aware of that. We can't just say and do anything, and we have to be willing to take the hit for what we believe in. And so I think it comes down to us making sure that we are on message with what we are about. And when we do make those mistakes, there are consequences and repercussions for our actions, and we have to be willing to stand behind it. So I think we just have to be thoughtful about it. Canceling people, I don't know if I support that fully, that we cancel people, because people make mistakes. People have moments that they are not proud of, and they have to come back and make things right. And I think everybody is worthy of redemption and forgiveness. But we do have to be, again, aware that we are influencers, and with influence comes responsibility. And I think sometimes people want to, they don't want to be seen as that, but it just comes with the territory. When you have become a product, people are looking up to you. They're looking to you for connection and what's the other word I want to look, consider relatability. You know what I'm saying? So when you fall off and you're not connecting the dots, you know, people are going to have something to say. And I think we just have to be aware of that and walk in responsibility to that. And again, stand behind it. If you believe this, you got to stand behind it, and you got to take everything that comes with it. So if you lose people behind what you believe, you have to stand and hope that it comes full circle. And whatever you say, it, if it's real and it's true, it'll be proven. You know what I'm saying?
You said it.
Yeah. So that's how I feel about it. But I do believe in redemption. So I think we have to walk in grace towards one another. But we also have to be careful what we release, because it has a consequence. So that's my take.
It's interesting that you said that, because recently I saw something on social media. I did not get all of it and did not understand what the song was, but Kalante Gavin was talking about all the backlash that he had gotten for like doing a song. You know, sometimes artists would...
Oh, he did a mashup of songs. That's probably what it was.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he said he didn't realize that, you know, that folks would catch that sort of backlash. He said other folks do it all the time. But like you said, William, you have to be aware of who you are and your purpose and staying on purpose, because they're watching you.
Yeah. And I think I definitely agree. The other side of it is, as an entrepreneur, a leader, an influencer, I've learned that, you know, sometimes people are short-sighted. So if you've never had to build anything, if you've never had to establish anything, it is easy to say things that are careless, not knowing the full impact. And I'm saying it from this side, that we have to be gracious towards one another, because to build something, it takes work, but to tear something down is very easy to do. And so I think we have to be gracious towards one another. If we have people that we have valued and they have been contributing in a positive way to our lives and to our relationship and our walk with God, I think there should be also some level of consideration and grace that is given, not to just tear that person down immediately, but to give them an opportunity to speak up for themselves. And when they do, consider it, because all of us have moments that we need to clarify, that somebody doesn't not understand right off. And so, you know, we don't want to tear our those that are building our brand as kingdom citizens in, you know, in the marketplace. We don't want to tear them down, but we want to build them up, and we want to give them consideration because we all need it. You know, so that's, I just want to put that out there. Yeah.
Well, I totally agree, because it could be you the next time that slip up. You can slip up.
And it hits different when it's you. Come
right.
Oh, yes. It's right. Different.
Scriptures say judge not, right?
That you be not judged. That's it. That's it. Come on.
Pointing fingers and you pointing one finger and the other four pointing back at you.
That's right. That is so true. It is so true. I'm learning the higher I go, that, you know, more grace is definitely needed, because none of us can make it without love and understanding and grace being given, because all of us are works in progress. And many of the people that we love and we admire, they have, you know, they're just now experiencing new levels of scrutiny. And people don't realize that when you're flying, there's more people looking at you than you know, you see, and you're doing your best to maintain. And so it takes love and it takes grace from those that are supporting. Yeah, we need that. We need that. We need to be uplifted, and we need that understanding to continue to do what we do. So I just pray that more love and grace will be given.
Amen. Amen. Now let's hop into your music that you got going on now. We talked about your first release. You released music in 2004. You got your big break in 2005 as an indie artist on John P. Key's New Artist compilation CD. And in between all of that, you've been writing songs, but you had your first indie album out in 2007. And then in between all of this, you're writing songs did you write something for Melvin Crispell?
Yes, I wrote a song on, not his latest record, but me and Miranda Curtis, we wrote a song called My Dance is Victory. And, you know, the testimony of that, Miss Lynn, is God. You know, when I went to Sunday Best, I had a vision. You know, I thought it was going to be a one thing, and God told me, he said, son, you got to trust me, and you got to make sure that you are keeping your attitude right. No matter the outcome, trust me and keep a good spirit. And I did. And I wrote not only for Melvin, but I wrote for Crystal Aiken, the first year winner. I wrote also for Jeffrey Golden. I wrote the title cut for his record that Kirk produced, entitled Kingdom, with Myron Butler and Sean. And so, and my boy Bruce Robinson. Yeah. So, you know, God really did a work, you know, through that experience, allowed me to write for three of the winners of Sunday Best. Yeah.
That is such a blessing. Wow. Did not know you wrote for all them peoples. Now, I ran into Crystal Aiken at the Stellar Awards.
Come on. Yeah, she's doing her thing. I love her.
Yes, she is. And a beautiful, beautiful person. Love her spirit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And listen, that's hometown love right there. We came up together, and, you know, we still... Actually, the last time I saw Crystal, we were in New York, and she was doing her thing. And, you know, sometimes we look at each other and we just shake our heads like, God is amazing to do something in your hometown for quite a long time. And sometimes to feel as if, you know, nobody sees you. And then one thing leads to another, and God shows his faithfulness and his kindness toward you. And you can travel around the world and run into people that you've been knowing all your life, you know. And we're both doing what we talked about. There were many days we would be at different events, and we have the, you know, we go out and grab a bite to eat, and we talk about what we're believing God for. And to live into the reality of it is such an amazing, amazing feeling. And it causes me to encourage people to just continue to trust and have faith in God for what he told you he's going to do. Yeah.
Amen. Now let's talk about the new music that you we have come from the mid to early 2000s all the way up to 2023.
So. We've lived a little bit. Yes.
Amen.
Yes. So I have a brand new single entitled Joy, featuring none other than Israel Halton, and it is mind-blowing the doors that God has opened. And we're just excited because we hit number 8 on the iTunes Apple Christian music song charts, and it's just mind-blowing. God has been so faithful. So yeah, brand new single.
Oh, wow. Congratulations on that. And it's topping charts right now and still climbing. But how did that whole thing come about? You working with Israel.
Yeah. So, you know, I signed with my new label back actually right at the top of the pandemic. And it was a very uncertain time. But, you know, I said, God, I'm trusting you. And so I felt led, all the stuff lined up. And so we signed the deal and we start recording and we start working on this record. And through the process, I got a chance to work with people like Eric Dawkins of Dawkins & Dawkins. We penned some songs together and some other great features that we have coming down the line. But my label mentioned something. They said, well, this we let Israel hear some of what we've been working on, and he wants to work with you. I said, what? And so I said, well, man, let's make that happen. I got really excited, and, you know, my boy Israel, he's always moving and shaking. You know, they're on the reunion tour now, and we knew it was coming. And we were like, Lord, please let everything, you know, align so we could do it schedule-wise. And literally, just a few months ago, we were able to align it just in enough time before the tour hit. And it was such an amazing experience working with him in the studio. The knowledge that he shared, the wisdom, the impartation. You know, he's truly a man that loves God, and really just encouraged me. Sometimes we look at people's journey and we see where they are now and have no idea what they have went through. And so he, you know, while we were together, shared some of his story, and it just was right on time for where my journey's at. And so we had an opportunity to record this song entitled Joy. And what it's about, Miss Lynn, is really recognizing that even though we go through difficult, uncertain times, God has always, he's always purposed for us to experience his joy, even in the midst of difficult times. There's always joy. He always has a plan. He always has a purpose. And through that, we are able to experience his joy. And so I got a chance to pin this with my girl, Jay Williams.
Oh, Jay.
Out of St. Louis. Jay. I got to put my girl, y'all. And so we pinned this song, and it was just it's just an anthem that no matter what you're going through, joy is coming. It may not be here right now, but keep showing up to life. Keep living. You're going to experience the joy of the Lord as you contend and hold on to your faith. And I'm a witness. I've dealt with loss. I've dealt with delays. I've dealt with denials. But I have experienced the joy of God because I did not give up, Miss Lynn. Yeah.
Amen. Consistent, persistent, and leaning on Jesus. Amen.
Come on. So y'all gotta go get it. Y'all gotta go get it now. It is available on all streaming platforms. You know, not only do we have that, but we have an amazing power pack full record coming at the top of the year. And I can already tell you, I got my boy Molly on it, y'all. I got my boy The Truth on it, y'all. I got my boy Q from 112, and we got some other stuff up our sleeves. So y'all just get ready. Get ready.
get ready.
Yes.
So how can people find you on social media? It's like they want to connect. They want to just check in with you. How can they find you?
Come on, you can go to Instagram. That's one of my favorite outlets, and it's simply just at William Demps One, at William Demps and the number one. It's also the same thing for my Twitter, and then just William Demps / on Facebook. And then we are also on TikTok. We've been working on TikTok, so just all you got to do is search my name, William Demps, DEMPS, and follow your boy. We have some upcoming dates and some upcoming exciting news. So definitely connect with us. And you can also go to my website, which is just my name, williamdemps.com. And you can find all of those social media tags and any of the upcoming dates and some fun stuff to check out. Yeah.
Pastor William Demps, we appreciate you, and thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to chat with us today so that we can get caught up, and mostly so I can get caught up.
Yes.
Well, now that was a whole lot of fun. Thank you, audience, for also joining us today. Make sure that you subscribe right now so that you never, ever miss an episode of this uplifting, encouraging, and inspiring show. Now, if you'd like to connect with me, Lynn Woods, you can find me on X. That's at Lynn Woods, LINWOODS, or Instagram or TikTok at Lynn Woods 96, or at Facebook or LinkedIn at simply Lynn Woods, LIN, last name Woods, WOODS. And taking us on home is my guest, William Demps, with his hit featuring Israel Houghton, Joy, on the Lynn Woods Gospel Entertainment Show, where we talk to inspire. God bless.